सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। We'll recite the first verse as a prayer. Kakhalunalankriyate, Kakhalunalankriyate, Drishta Drishtartha Sadhana Patiyan, Drishta Drishtartha Sadhana Patiyan, Amuya Kantasthitaya, Prashnotara Ratna Malikaya, Patum Karnanjali Bihi, Patum Karnanjali Bihi, Kim Amrutam Iha Yujyate, Kim Amrutam Iha Yujyate, Sadupadeshaha, Kim Gurutaya Moolam, Kim Gurutaya Moolam, Yadetat Aprarthanam Nama, Yadetat Aprarthanam Nama, Kim Gahanam, Stricharitam, Kaschaturaha, Yonakanditahattena, Kim Dukham, Asantoshaha, Kim Laghavam, Adhamato Yancha, Kim Jivitam, Anavadyam, Kim Jadyam, Pathatopi Anabhyasaha. I hope you all are reading the translations. I don't remember to tell you. And I also forgot to welcome everybody who's watching remotely. Welcome everyone. So, well, we are chanting because this text doesn't have a very sequential continuity of ideas. So just to remind us of what the question is and how the text answers it.
Ko jagarati, viveki, kanidra, mudhata jantoho, nalini dalagat jalavat taralam kim, yauvanam dhananca ayuhu, kathayah punaha, kesheshinak kirana samaha, sajjana eva, ko narakaha, paravashata, kim saukhyam, Sarva Sangha Viratihiya.
So we saw half of this verse 12 last time. Let me just go back. So kaha narakaha, what is equivalent to hell, but Hinduism we don't have the word hell or heaven. What is equivalent to having a very difficult life? And the answer is paravashata, being under the control. And being under the control for most of us is being under the control of our own raga dveshas, our own desires and aversions. And the second part of the verse is kim saukhyam, what is happiness or what brings us a sense of satisfaction or peace, and the answer is sarva sanga viratihi ya, literally dispassion, detachment towards anything that makes us attached, that causes attachment for us. And this verse continues in the second half. Kim sadhyam, kim sadhyam, bhutahitam, priyancha kim praninam, asavaha. So kim sadhyam, sadhyam means what, that which is to be done or accomplished. So what is sadhyam? What is to be, kim sadhyam, what is to be done or accomplished? The answer is not our to-do list, right? We all have, if you're anything like me, I have several to-do lists every day. And at the end of the day, many of them are not done, so they just get transferred to the next day's list. So obviously he's not talking about the to-do list that we all have in our lives. But the answer is bhuta hitam. Hitam is benefit or welfare. For whom? For bhutas, for all beings, for all creatures. We saw this word hitam in a prior verse 5. Kim manujeshu ishtatamam. What is most desirable for a human being? And the answer was swa parahitaya udyatam. Helping others and helping ourselves. Basically, what is most meaningful? How can we lead a meaningful life? Is by thinking of, not only thinking, but doing welfare of everybody, everyone, all creatures, doing good to others. And this really requires an internal attitude change. Most of our lives we live by, most of us live with taking care of our needs, which is a good thing, obviously. First, you need to take care of your needs before you can take care of somebody else's need. So we live our lives taking care of our needs, and then maybe our immediate family, and maybe a little extended family, perhaps some friends. But that becomes very limiting. So all we are doing is thinking of me and mine. So this person is mine, is connected to me. This person is not connected to me. So the ones who are connected to me get the benefit of my help, whereas those who are not connected to me don't get the benefit of my help. And that's really what this internal attitude change is moving away from thinking of about I, me, myself, to us and you and everybody else. And the second half of the verse, second half of this, the last quarter, priyancha kim praninam, praninam, cha, and kim priyam, what is dear? What is dear to who? For all living beings, for all living beings. And again, for most of us, what is dear to us is our children, our families. Not a bad thing, it's not a wrong thing. That's an obvious thing that are dear to us. For some of you, others, it may include your pets. And it might also include your fancy home or your fancy car or your very new latest update of the iPhone or computer or whatever gadget you are into. So for each of us, what is dear? There are some things that are dear, which is obviously our families and kids and jobs, whatever. So, but there are many things that vary among each of us. What might be important for, so if your job is very important for you in when you're working, for somebody who's retired, he or she could care less about the job. So what is dear to us can vary, but here the answer is, what is uniformly dear to everyone? And that is asavaha. Asu means life or breath, literally asu means breath. And we all have experienced this when you have like a cold or a cough or you have some congestion or you have allergies. Many people suffer from allergies and you're not able to breathe properly. Are you thinking about your near and dear ones, your fancy car, your fancy house, when you're really gasping for breath? Probably not. you're thinking about what can I do to make this congestion go away or to make me feel better. You might think of your spouse or your kids if you want that hot cup of tea when you're not feeling well. But other than that, what is more dear is the breath for us. And this desire, so like I said, you know, having your family or car or home as being dear is not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong in that. But the instinct to survive is kind of more very primal to human nature. So when you are gasping for breath, the breath becomes the most, the life or the breathing becomes most dear to us.
Ko nartha palaha, ko nartha palaha, manaha, manaha, ka sukhada, ka sukhada, sadhujana maitri, sadhujana maitri. So kaha, what is anartha palaha? Anartha palaha literally means what is useless fruit, and what that means is what is undesirable, what actions or deeds do not bring beneficial results, what causes failure, what is wasteful. Anartha can mean wasteful. So what is wasteful? And the answer is surprising, manaha. Manaha means conceit or pride or vanity. And mana defined as atmani pujyatya bhavaha, bhavana. So that attitude or bhavana, that feeling of atmani pujyatva, that I should be, atmani here means just the simple I, reflexive pronoun, I, not in the sense of Satchidananda Atma, but just I, pujyatva, that I deserve to be praised, I deserve to be shown respect, I should be shown respect by others. And what happens when this doesn't happen? Forget about others. When your kids don't respect you as they grow to become teenagers and as they become independent in their thinking, it brings a lot of disappointment when your kids don't respect you. Or unfortunately, many people who, as they grow older, within families too, many times in a joint family system, the elderly parents, you know, they have children or young adults forget how much their parents have sacrificed, have done for them. So when they become older, the children end up taking care of the parents, but some people feel it can become a burden. The older or senior elders, I shouldn't say older, many of us are older, seniors don't seem to be able to contribute much, and they are put aside. And that's really a shame because they have contributed all their life. So what do the elders feel? They feel left out, they feel disappointed because their children aren't showing respect, their children aren't listening to them. So the wisdom comes by knowing really that this can become a fact in your life. And when it does, hopefully it doesn't, but if it does and when it does, to be objective towards it. And there is this story of Sage Narada. We saw a story last week. He was actually, this Rishi Sage was actually a very learned person. Unfortunately, he gets the bad rap of being a gossip monger, carrying tales from one loka to another. And many times people do this Satyanarayana puja, I think mainly to appease Narada so that you're not involved, you're not part of his gossip. That's my take on it. But he also, at one time, he had conquered his desires, his lust, his greed, and he became incredibly proud of it. And he went to Lord Vishnu. He went around to Vishnu and Shiva, and he was boasting, saying that he's become the ultimate master of his senses. He's conquered all his senses. And to teach him, so that was the pride, right? That was the pride or the mana talking. So to teach him a lesson, Vishnu created this beautiful, gorgeous woman, a princess, a kingdom, and a princess. And Narada goes to that kingdom. Of course, he falls head over heels in love with this princess. And he wants to look handsome. So in ancient times, I'm going to decrease the volume a little bit. I think I'm getting some echo. Can you hear me okay at the back? Yeah. So in ancient times, the princesses were allowed to choose their own spouse, their own prince, in a ceremony called Swayamvara. Swayamvara, Swayam means self, Vara means a groom. So they would choose their own groom. So in this kingdom, this princess was getting ready. There was the celebration or this event was going to happen, and Narada wanted to win her over and he wanted to marry her. So he tells Vishnu, give me the face of Hari. Hari is another name for Vishnu. And as you know, Vishnu is depicted as a very beautiful Alankara Priya. So the one god who has done, who has a lot of decorations, Alankara. There's a lot of texts that talk about the beauty of Vishnu. So he goes to Vishnu and says, give me a face of Hari. In Sanskrit, Hari also means monkey. It's like the seventh or eighth word dictionary in the dictionary. So Vishnu, to teach him a lesson, gives him the face of a monkey, and Narada goes to the Swayamvara with the face of a monkey and becomes a laughing stock of everybody there. So that was just to... So these Puranic stories, some of them are really silly, but the Puranas really teach us values through stories. So the value of mana, the value of not having pride or conceit is given through the story. And why is pride a problem? So many reasons. First obvious one, who wants to be around somebody who's full of himself or herself? There is an American slang for it, which I will not use. Wisdom, when you are so overcome by your own accomplishments, by the pride that come with those accomplishments, our viveka, our discernment, and discrimination are out the window. We can't see straight. And at a very Vedantic level, at a very Vedantic reason for why pride is not desirable, so someone who has pride, the prasada buddhi, or the Ishwara arpana attitude, the attitude that anything I do as an offering to Ishwara, and anything I get back, any few accomplishments I have, is really a prasada, a gift from Ishwara. That attitude is completely gone. And what happens, it's replaced by I did it attitude. Oh, look at me, I'm so great. I did it. And this I did it attitude solidifies our ahankara bhava. Ahankarta, the sense of I being the doer of everything, where Vedanta is really telling, if you understand, since you are Satchidananda Atma, Atma is not doing anything. It's the body and mind that do it. But every time you have this, I did it, look at me, I'm so great attitude, it is making that ahankara, that kartaness, kartrutvam, the state of being a karta, more strong. And it reminds me of this funny videos, American funny videos. I used to watch it long back. I remember a cute episode there. There is this 3 or 4 year old boy who is, the mother has just baked a hot cake, a nice cake, and with a lot of frosting and chocolate cake, the kid's favorite, leaves it on the dining table to cool and tells the little boy, don't touch it, don't eat it. And she walks away. And what do you think the boy does? Obviously, he's going to go and eat it. And he knows he's not supposed to do it, right? She comes back, his mouth is covered with chocolate frosting and the cake, and the mother asks him, who ate the cake? And he points to the dog and says, the dog ate it. I did not eat it. So for us, perhaps we can have more of this I did not do it attitude when it comes to our accomplishments and our pride. things we take pride in. Taking pride is not a bad thing, but when it goes excessive in that we really think everybody should be worshiping us, everybody should respect us because of what we have accomplished, that mana is not conducive to our spiritual growth. And the second half of the second quarter, ka sukhada, da means to give. So what gives us, what brings us happiness, sukham, sadhu jana maitri. Maitri, friendship or association with whom? Sadhu jana, with good people. Importance of satsanga cannot be stressed. We've seen that in many verses, many times already. There is a subhashita. A subhashita is something like a good saying in Sanskrit. There are many subhashita verses. And this is a verse we used to chant when we had the Sadhaka Sangha program here many years back. We used to chant this verse. And it was a sangha of sadhakas. We had a program we offered, I think, on a weekday morning. So I think this is a good verse. And I just think it's a universal prayer as well. So maybe just nice for us to chant it. Durjana sajjano bhuyat, durjana sajjano bhuyat, sajjana shanti mapnuyat, sajjana shanti mapnuyat, shanto mucheta bandhebhyah, shanto mucheta bandhebhyah, muktas chanyan vimochayet, muktas chanyan. So durjanaha is somebody, you know, I think the translation says a bad person. Remember, there's really no bad and good person. It's just somebody's behavior is bad or good, and we don't label people as bad or good. It's just their behavior. So somebody who is disillusioned or whose behavior is not good, durjanaha sajjanaha bhuyat, may he become a good person. May he or she become good. And then sajjanaha, may the good person, shantim apnuyat, may he gain peace, may he or she gain peace. Shantaha, the one who has gained peace, mucheta bandhebhyaha, bandhebhyaha, may he or she, mucheta, the shantaha, the peaceful one, is freed from what? Bandaha. From bondage, bandhebhyaha, that means he or she has become a jivan muktaha, the one who is free, liberated, free of suffering here and now. And muktaha cha, and the muktaha, the one who has this freedom, anyan vimochayet, may he or she help others become free or liberated. So no matter where you are on your journey of spiritual growth, you can be a durjanaha, you can be a sajjanaha, a bad person, a disillusioned person, a good person, a shantaha, the one who knows his or her true self. No matter where you are on your spectrum of spiritual growth, satsanga can be useful, not only to gain knowledge, to become a jivan mukta, but also to help others who are on the same path. And remember, we always learn something when we interact with others, when we talk to others. Even when we talk with others who perhaps don't have our political views, who perhaps don't have our values, it's always nice, it's always a learning experience. If we have the right attitude, if we enter a conversation with somebody and we've already made up in our mind that what this person says is nonsense, you're never going to learn anything more. And if after the conversation you recognize for yourself that perhaps this person is not somebody who's going to help me on my spiritual path, you don't need to have a further conversation. This is something for us to remember. We end up judging and labeling people too soon before we even know what they are about.
Sarva vyasana vinasheko dakshah. Sarva vyasana vinasheko dakshah. Sarvada tyagi. Sarvada tyagi. So kaha dakshah. Daksha means skill. So who is skilled? Who is skilled in what? Sarva vyasana vinashe. In the vinasha, in the destruction of vyasana. Vyasana literally means a misfortune or a calamity. Sarva vyasana, all calamities, all misfortune. Meaning who can handle any type of sorrow? Most of us cannot, right? We can handle certain difficulties up to a certain level. But when that situation crosses the threshold of what our capacity is to handle that, we fall apart. So here, kaha dakshaha sarva vyasana vinashe. Who is able to handle life on its own terms? And the answer is sarvada tyagi, a renunciate. Tyagi is one who is renunciate. Sarvada, in all manners, at all times. So does this mean that we have to all give up our grihastha ashrama, give up our vanaprastha ashrama, give up our lifestyle, run and take and become a renunciate, become a sannyasi monk, become a tyagi? Do we need to change our lifestyle? Give up everything we possess, including our dear families, near and dear ones, our quote-unquote loving families, our fancy homes, our cars, our jobs. If you are inclined to take sannyasa, if that is your path, and there's a lot of questions you have to answer yourself to make sure you are on that path. It's a path of no return. Most of us are not on the path. I don't think anybody in this room is even inclined. You might have an inclination, but most of us are not at that stage. So if you are not at that stage, Lord Krishna says in chapter 5 of the Bhagavad Gita that renunciation is really an internal shift, an attitudinal change, when he says, Nyeha sanitya sannyasi, know that a sannyasi who is sarvada, who is always a sannyasi, who is he? Yaha nadveshti nakangshati. The one, a renounced person, is one who does not, neither nadveshti, who does not hate, nor nakangshati, nor doesn't have akanksha, who doesn't have desires. That means mainly, basically, a renunciate or a tyagi is one who is able to handle his desires, his raga dveshas. And the verse continues, nirdvandvaha hi mahabaho, O Arjuna mahabahu, nirdvandva, the one who is free of nirdvandvas, free of dualities, of ragas and dveshas, sukham bandhat pramuchyate, the one who is free of pairs of opposites, he becomes pramuchyate, he becomes or gains sukham. He becomes bandhat, he becomes free from bondage, sukham, easily. So it's not what you give up that frees you, that makes you a renunciate, that makes you a tyagi. It's really what is the internal shift that has happened from I, me, myself, I am this body, I am this mind, I am these senses. These little, few little piddly things belong to me and people belong to me. To I am Atma. I am that which gives existence to everything else. So we do not need to renounce anything to become skilled to handle the ups and downs. When you recognize that your true nature is already limitless and full, what can you give up? What is there to give up? And the counter question people ask, do I always have to be constantly thinking, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, I am Atma, I am Atma? No, it's neither practical nor necessary. When this reality becomes yours, when you recognize your true nature,
over a period of time, it takes a long time, when you recognize your true nature with the help of these teachings as unfolded by a guru, you can be okay with whatever life throws at you, whatever ups and downs come into your life. It's like when there's a saying in Sanskrit, when there is a fire, in olden days you have to get the water from the well. You start digging a well when there is a fire. That's kind of too late. So we have to be with these teachings to be able to handle, for a length of time, to be able to handle the fires that life throws at us. And there is a verse in Katha Upanishad 1.2.2, which talks about the two margas that Sri Krishna has spoken about in the Bhagavad Gita, the Shreyas and the Priya. Shreyas is ultimate moksha, Priyas is everything else. So this verse says, Shreyaha cha Priyaha cha Manushyam etaha tau sam etaha tau. So Shreyaha, the good or the highest moksha. So it's making, I forget the English word for it, when you assign humanness to character, to words. So it's assigning Shreyaha as a person, so moksha, and Preyaha, Preyaha cha, the pleasurable or that which is desirable. Manushyam etaha. They etaha, they approach both moksha and everything else, the desirable approach whom? A man. Dhiraha, and the second half, samparitya vivinakti dhiraha. Dhiraha, a wise one, samparitya. Having examined what? Tau, having examined both Shreyas and Priyas, Vivinakti, having discerned, having discriminated between Shreyas and Priyas, between Moksha, what is the ultimate goal, and what is everything else, what does he do? Shreyahi Vrinite, abhivrinite. He chooses or he prefers Shreyas. He prefers moksha over Priyas, over the desirable, the impermanent. But on the other hand, mandaha, in the last line, mandaha vrinite chooses, the ignorant one chooses Preyaha. Preyaha vrinite. And why does he choose Preyaha, the impermanent? Yoga kshemat, the last word in the compound, due to yoga kshema, greed and attachment. So yoga kshema is also a technical word meaning you acquire and then you have to work to keep maintaining that, acquiring, acquisition and preservation. So because of greed and lack of discernment, lack of realizing what is really valuable, what is the ultimate goal of life, the mandaha, the foolish person, chooses prayers, chooses the impermanent. And Bhagavad Gita describes many verses, this Shreyo Marga and Priya Marga in several verses in the Gita. Kim maranam murkhatvam kim cha anargham yad avasare dattam. So kim maranam, what is death? And the answer, surprising answer, is murkhatvam, foolishness. And why is foolishness compared to death? Because when we are ignorant of our true fullness, our true nature, Satchidananda Atma, that is not subject to death, that is permanent reality, we foolishly identify with what? We had seen this in one of the earlier classes, with the three Ds, disease, decay, the aging body, the disease, the decay, and death. And then what happens? We are constantly worried, constantly stressed about what is happening to this body? What is happening to me? I am dying, I die. And that is that sense, that identification with the body and mind is so strong that we forget our true nature. So refusing to learn or refusing to practice or understand and make these teachings a reality for us, that is murkhatvam, that is compared to death, that is foolishness. And kim cha anargham, cha and kim anargham. Anargha means that which is something which is priceless or invaluable. What is invaluable? Yat avasare dattam. Yat dattam, that which is given. That which is given when? Avasare. At the appropriate time. At the appropriate moment. The right time of need. And what is given? It can be anything, like a material thing, like money, food, clothing. I know many of you, when there is like a natural disaster, like a fire or earthquake, you end up giving clothes and donations or offer to food banks. It can be any material thing, or it can be giving of your time to somebody who needs your time, or help someone with just a kind word. You know, when we had started this Janaraksha program more than a decade ago, many of the volunteers, and for you, for those who don't know this Janaraksha program that we offer, people call into our ashram to get help with all kinds of situation, physical help, emotional support, or spiritual help. And many times, and they would be assigned a volunteer. Many times volunteers would tell me they're not doing anything, because sometimes the situation is very difficult, that it's beyond what a volunteer can do. And yet, not doing anything, meaning just lending a compassionate, sympathetic ear, is all that is needed to validate the other person's feeling. All we need to do is be there for some, be there 100%. Most of the time when somebody is talking to us, how much are we really listening? If you're honest with yourself, I don't know how to put a percentage. I would say 20%, maybe some of you 50%, 75%. But most of the times when somebody is talking in an intimate heart-to-heart conversation, we're thinking about what to say. So we've already blocked out what the other person is saying. Or we are thinking, if we don't know the person too well, we are judging the person. How is this he or she saying this? Why is he feeling this? Why is he saying this? So developing listening skills is really key. And I think I mentioned that in the last class, to any good relationship is communication, both ways. So what is priceless? Giving at the appropriate time, giving the right thing. And in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, which is Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga Nama, threefold faith, but it also talks about three kinds of dhanam, charity, and three kinds of tapas, which is what the next slide is. Dhatavyam itish yat. I'm going to chant it. Somehow when it comes to Bhagavad Gita reading, it doesn't come easily, so I'll just chant it. And you don't need to, in the interest of time. This is from chapter 17, verses 20 to 22. Dātavyam iti yaddhānam dīyate nupakārine deshe kāle cha pātre cha taddhānam sātvikam smṛtam. So in the first line, yad dānam, that offering, which is dātavyam iti, which is given because it just needs to be given. It is the right thing to do out of a sense of duty. Diyate, which is given, an upakarine. Upakara means a favor, without expectation of a return favor or without expectation of a return help. Deshe kale cha patre cha, deshe, at the right place, kale, at the right time, and patre, to the right person, Taddanam Sattvikam Smritam. Taddanam is known as Sattvika, the highest form of giving. For example, if somebody asks you for a ride and you offer, you say yes without thinking about how it's going to inconvenience you, how you have these five other things you have to get done and you won't be able to get done because you give the ride. So something that comes very... Somebody's car is broken down and you need to give them a ride. They ask you for a ride. You just say yes. That kind of giving, no matter how much inconvenience it may cause you. So that danam, that giving, is sattvikam. Actually, in the interest of time, I won't go through the other two verses. You can look it up or we'll cover it at another time. So there is rajasik danam, the second verse talks about, which is giving grudgingly or thinking about I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back attitude. So I'm giving something with the expectation that I'm going to be able to get something back from you at a later time. And the tamasik danam, the lowest kind of category of danam, is giving to some giving at an improper time or an improper activity, like sending a donation to a terrorist organization. So obviously those are not considered to be high levels of danam. Amaranat kim shalyam, amaranat kim shalyam, prachannam yatkritam papam, prachannam yatkritam papam. So kim shalyam? Shalyam means like a thorn or a splinter. Any external object that that causes pain. You know, like when an eyelash or a dust particle falls in your eye, it's like constantly pricking. Or if you swallow while eating, you swallow something that goes down the windpipe and you're gagging too. That's the body's reflex to cough it up. So that is considered to be a shalyam. What is like a thorn or this extraneous object, amaranat, maranat, amaranat. A means up to or until death. So what is it that constantly pricks us throughout our lifetime? And the answer says, yat kritam papam, that papam or that adharmic activity that is done, prachannam, that is done, prachanna means to cover or a secret. So that activity that is done disguised or concealed or in secrecy, and that's interesting. So if we do a good action, a dharmic action, does that bother us? So if you give a donation, do you feel pricked? Oh, I gave a donation. No. A dharmic action doesn't cause any guilt or any sense of this pricking. But why does a dharmic activity, a deliberate act of harm or something that is not to be done, we know that, when we do it in secrecy, why does this prick us like a thorn for a long period of death, for a long period of time? And this verse says up to death. Several reasons. One, it can be a secret to others. Maybe you haven't shared what you did with others, but you know what you've done, right? So you know it's an internal, it's not external to you, that feeling or that knowledge that the action or karma you did was not right, was adharmic, is known to you, even though others don't know you, know that you did it, so it's constantly pricking you. Even a thief, so if you ask, if you go and rob a thief, how do you think he or she is going to feel? Not happy. Because why? Because even a thief knows that robbing is adharmic. So some values that we have are very universal values, and Pooja Swami just spoken about them. Not wanting to be taken advantage of by someone, not wanting to be robbed, is a universal value that we all know. And Pujya Swamiji, many of you may have heard, he speaks about actions of omission and actions of commission. So when he talks about, when he's mentioned actions of omission, is things that we should, people regret at the end of their life, actions of omission and actions of commission. Actions of omission are those actions that we should have done, which we did not do. So we always have this guilt feeling, and you can think of any example in your own life that brings this up for you. Something that you should have done, but you did not do. And actions of commission, actions that we did that should not have been done. Again, we have many in our own lives that we can think about, and these actions are like constant shalyam, constant pricks, pinpricks in our lives. And many times, you know, unfortunately, people come to the end of their life on their deathbed and they're still struggling with the guilt of these actions that they did hurt somebody or they should have done that they did not do. We are all hopefully not at that stage yet, so we can make mid-course correction. So if you know, if you think of something that you did hurtful to somebody 25 years back, and if that person is still around, go and talk to them about it. Have an open discussion. Say you're sorry. You don't lose anything when you say you're sorry. What do you have to lose? You build that relationship. And if you say that other person is not even coming, not willing to accept my apology, that's on them. Whether that person accepts your apology or not is not going to prick you. What is going to prick you is that you did some harm to the other person. You broke some relationship, got broken because of something that was done 25 years back. So we can make mend relationships. We don't have to wait till it's too late. Once we're dead, how's that going to happen, right? Okay. Kutra vidheyo yatnaha, kutra vidheyo yatnaha, vidyabhyase sadaushade dane, vidyabhyase sadaushade dane, avadhiranakvakarya, khalaparayoshit, paradhaneshu, yoshit paradhaneshu, kutra yatnaha. Yatnaha means effort. Kutra videyaha, videya to be done. Where should effort be made, or where is effort to be practiced? And the answer is vidya abhyase. Vidya abhyasa, abhyasa means study. Vidya abhyase, study and learning. So it implies in continued learning and study, meaning continued shravana, manana, nididhyasana. Until when? Until when you're woken up in the middle of your sleep by a fire alarm and you're able to say, I am okay. Until that time, that's my version of until when. It will depend on each of us, right? Until when, until these teachings go in so deeply. Vidya abhyase sad aushade. Aushada means medicine or herbs. And in sad aushade, in good herbs, what it means in proper medicine, effort should be done, taking it a little further, in maintaining our good physical and mental wellness, using food as medicine. In the Rig Veda, there is a verse which says, Ya aushadhi purva. Why is aushada, why is medicine so even mentioned in this verse? Because in the Rig Veda, there's a verse which says, the ancient herbs were born purva jata devebhyah triyugam pura. The herbs or the medicinal plants were present three yugas even before the gods or the devas were. And manu nu brabhabhrunama aham. So I babrunamam. I focus or I concentrate my mind on what? Dhamani, shatam dhamani sapta. On the dhamani, on the splendors of the shatasaptams, 107 qualities or glories of these herbs. And as you know, a lot of the, even the cancer medicines, medications, or many of the medicines that are used today have their origin in plants. So plants and herbs were given, obviously, Ayurveda, the science of medicine, was very, still is in, very important in Hindu tradition. So what should be practiced or consistent effort to be made in continued learning, study, and in keeping our bodies and minds healthy, taking care of ourselves, and in dana. We just saw dhanam, the importance of dhanam. Giving doesn't come easily. Having a big heart doesn't come easily. And effort needs to be made in becoming giving. And Pujya Swamiji has said, give till it hurts. So it's easy for us, many of us, to give something that one, either we don't have use of, or that we have plenty of. But giving something that we need ourselves, that's a whole different level of giving. I'm not telling that we should all jump and give up your car. You need to go home, maybe ask your neighbor. It's not that, but just for us to recognize that growth comes with giving, and giving requires, comes with a lot of effort. The more you give, the more giving we can become. And the next half of the verse, avadhirana kvakarya. Kvakarya, in what place or in what where or towards what karya actions, avadhirana, we saw this word avadhirana earlier, disrespect or disregard, like kim visham, what is poison, gurushu avadhirana, towards actions or disregard towards the guru. So here it means what actions, what places or what actions or what desires should we disregard or should we avoid? What places, what things should we avoid? And the answer is kala para yoshit and para dhaneshu. Kala means, the dictionary meaning is a mischievous man. Literally, you could extend it to mean somebody who is a dharmic. You want to avoid such a person. Para yoshit. Yoshit means a young woman. And para yoshit means somebody, another woman, somebody else's wife. And we saw in the last verse, a maranat kim shalyam. What pricks until death? Adultery. Adultery can prick somebody because, one, it not only ruins the adulterer's family, but it destroys the other family too. The person that is not only committing the adultery, but the other person involved. And this can prick until death. Adultery is a big thing that can really ruin lives. And the last thing that we should avoid, he said, para dhaneshu, others' wealth. Obviously, I hope none of us are going and stealing others' wealth. If you're in this class, in this room, probably you're not. You have the value. We all have the value of a thief. We all know that we don't want to be robbed or stolen from. Maybe we'll do one more verse this time. Kaharnisham anuchintya. Kaharnisham anuchintya. Samsara sarata natu pramada. Samsara sarata natu pramada. Ka preyasi videya. Ka preyasi videya. Karuna dineshu. Karuna dineshu. Sajjane maitri. Sajjane maitri. So ka anuchintya. What is to be Chint meaning to think, anuchintya what is to be thought constantly or contemplated on. Ahar nisham, day and night. And the answer is samsara asarata. Asarata is the temporariness or the impermanence, transitory nature of samsara, of this worldly life. We saw this word in an earlier verse, meaning understanding the futility of some pursuits in our life. Na tu pramada, but not to focus on that which causes pramada, which causes delusion or confusion. So we need to ignore the futile pursuits of artha, dharma, kama as we mature, and we need to pursue the permanent, that which is our true nature. Ka preyasi vidheya, what is to be done, vidheya, preyasi, what is to be cultivated or done with love and with commitment. Karuna dineshu, dina to be, karuna means compassion. Compassion towards whom? Towards those who are dina, who need our help. Not only towards those who need our help, that's kind of easy for many of us, but towards everybody. Somebody who pushes our buttons. Developing compassion towards those who make us feel uncompassionate. Somebody who doesn't allow us or doesn't bring up that compassionate person in ours. And if we ourselves, how do we do that? If we ourselves feel a sense of lack, if we have not understood our fullness, it's hard to find that in anybody else. So we start with basic shravana, manana, nididhyasana. And also, what do we need to cultivate? Love and commitment. With love and commitment, sajjane maitri. Maitri means friendship. And sajjana, company of good people. We've discussed satsanga several times. Here, we need to be reminded that sajjana or satsanga helps us understand our true nature. And that's why that needs to be cultivated with love and care. And we will end our class there. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritangamaya. Om shanti shanti shanti. Tihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Thank you all for braving the cold, and we'll have Swamiji's meditation.